Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Please be seated. Today is the last Sunday of the church year, and in our gospel text, we hear of our Lord's righteous and final judgment on the last day. For the unbeliever, any talk of the last day or the end of times, even judgment, is an uncomfortable topic, uncomfortable and frightening. They wonder whether will the end come from global warming or perhaps a rogue asteroid or perhaps nuclear war. But for the Christian, it doesn't matter. You have nothing to fear. And as a matter of fact, Christ's return and his judgment day is something that you and I ought to look forward to. We should long for that day to arrive. You just confessed in the Creed, and you confess every Sunday in the Creed, that Christ will come again to judge the living and the dead. And if Christ is going to come and judge the living and the dead, he must first raise the dead. You can't have a final judgment without the resurrection of the dead. For all who trust in Christ for salvation, his return and his final judgment is a time of hope and joy because it's the day that our perishable bodies will put on imperishable. Mortal bodies will put on immortality. It's the day when Christ will usher in a new heaven and a new earth. Death will be swallowed up in victory, and all the ruin and sickness and frustration caused by mankind's sin will pass away, and we will live in paradise with our Lord as he originally intended. So to comfort you, so that you do not fear his second coming on the last day, in our gospel text, Jesus teaches his disciples of all times and of all ages exactly what is going to happen on Judgment Day. On that day, Christ will gather all people to himself, the living and the dead, from all times and all places. And he will separate people one from another as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. And he will place the sheep on his right and the goats on the left. Jesus describes a judicial scene like you would see in a courtroom before Christ, who is our Lord and righteous judge. The sheep represent the true believers in Christ, and the goats, the unbelievers and the hypocrites who reject Christ. The faithful will be vindicated, proclaimed not guilty, and entered into eternal paradise in heaven. But the unbelievers and the hypocrites, however, they will be proclaimed guilty and condemned into eternal damnation. So when you read this text, perhaps the first question that comes into your mind is, well, which one am I? Am I a sheep or am I a goat? Have I done enough good to be one of the sheep? Or have I dropped the ball and fallen short and landed in a herd of goats? Well, don't be confused by our text. As if this text were the only teaching we had of Jesus, we would be consigned to a religion of works righteousness, salvation by human effort. We would think that the sheep do these acts of righteousness only so that they will receive heavenly praise and eternal rewards, and the goats don't. And this is where works righteousness pastors get their doctrine and their teaching. But we know that this isn't Jesus' only teaching in the Bible. And if you're depending upon your works and deeds to earn salvation, well, you've dropped the ball and you've fallen short. If you're counting on being rewarded on the last day based upon what you have earned, well, on the last day, you'll be standing on the left with the rest of the goats. Now, you might think you've done a good job. Indeed, you probably have done a good job. But your works, my works, and anyone's works are imperfect. They're nothing more than filthy rags. So while you might think that Jesus is teaching mankind is saved by works and good works and deeds, he's actually, in our text, doing quite the opposite. Now, it is true that Jesus lists several good works, but notice when the separation comes. He separates the sheep from the goats before he mentions a single word about works and deeds. After he places the sheep on his right hand and the goats to the left, then the king will say to those on the right, "Come, you who are blessed by my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world." So the sheep are not sheep because they made a decision to become a sheep. They're not a sheep because they did acts of kindness and mercy and worked hard to achieve the level of sheep. No, they're sheep because God created them as sheep. God has chosen them and appointed them from the foundation of the world that they should go and bear fruits, fruits of repentance and fruits of faith. God alone is the one who makes people righteousness. He is their work. They are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for the good works that God has prepared for them in advance, that they would go out and do them. They help the sick. They go out and care for those around them. Ordinary sheep. They go visit those in prison. They feed the hungry. They clothe the naked. They do the sheeply kinds of things. And the sheep act like sheep. However, the goats, they choose a path contrary to God's plan. The goats choose to ignore God's word and the call of the Holy Spirit. They choose to ignore the cries and the needs of their neighbor and fellow man so that they have more time and energy and money to indulge in the desires of the world and the flesh. They reject God's word of grace, so in return, eventually God will give them over to what they choose. He gives them over to the lusts and dishonorable passions in their hearts. He gives them over to debased minds to do what ought not to be done. They know God's righteous decrees that those who practice such things deserve to die, but they do them anyway. They not only do them, but they give approval to those who practice them. So on the last day, the goats will reap the fruits of their labor. They will reap eternal fire prepared for the devil and his angels. Now it is instructive in our text to notice that in Jesus' teaching, neither the goats nor the sheep are aware that Jesus is hidden behind the neighbor. That Jesus is hidden in the person of the one who Jesus calls the least of these. Of course, we would expect the goats to be surprised, saying, "Lord, when did we see you hungry or thirsty or stranger or naked or sick or in prison and did not minister you?" So perhaps if they would have known it was Jesus, well, maybe they would have done good works. Maybe they would have waited on him hand and foot. But that does not require faith. Serving someone to earn wages is merely seeking to be paid in return. In their unbelief, the goats are only interested in serving themselves. They're only going to serve others when, in turn, it will serve their own advantage. And they will earn their wages, which is eternal death. But also know that the faithful sheep are also surprised. They too are completely unaware that Jesus is hidden in the person of their neighbor. The whole time, They were just merely living out their lives as sheep and doing the sheeply things. They're not doing works and deeds for their own benefit, but they're doing these things in the name of Jesus for the gospel's sake. And they're so oblivious to the connection between their own works and their relationship to God through faith that the king in the text has to explain it to them. They were serving their neighbor for the sake of their neighbor out of Christian love that flows from faith. They serve not because they suspect Jesus is hidden in the person of their neighbor, but they serve because they love their neighbor. And serving is what faithful sheep do. And so do you, because you have been made a sheep of the Good Shepherd. God chose you before the foundation of the world and has made you his sheep. He adopted you in holy baptism and gave you the family name. You are Christian, and the Lord is your shepherd, and you are his sheep. You belong to him, and you always will, because you were bought and paid for on Calvary's cross with Jesus' precious blood and his innocent suffering and death. And so you, as a sheep of the Good Shepherd, live and act like his sheep. The faith given by the Holy Spirit is a living and active power in your life, so that you bear fruits of repentance and perform good works. But not because they save you. No, Christ has already performed all the work of your salvation. Your works are merely the result and the reaction to saving faith. And if they're not being done out of faith and love for your neighbor, your Heavenly Father will not remember them. As we often say, God doesn't need your good works. You don't need your good works, but your neighbor does. He's been put in your path for you to love with Christ-like love and humility, to serve and to care for, all for the glory of God. And then everything you do for the least of your neighbors, well, it's counted as righteousness for Christ's sake. Jesus is coming again, and he says he's coming soon to judge the living and the dead. So to comfort you that you do not fear the last day and his final judgment, Jesus teaches you, his disciples, his sheep, of what is going to happen at his coming. Now, he's not admonishing you or begging you to become a sheep. No, you are his sheep. You are a sheep because God chose you to be his sheep, and he appointed you to go and bear fruits of faith and repentance. And on Judgment Day, you and all who are in Christ will not be rewarded with what you have earned. You will be rewarded what Christ has earned for you on your behalf. Your eternal reward is not based upon your actions, but it's based upon the actions of your Savior, Jesus. It was his death in exchange for your life. And the difference between the sheep and the goats is the difference between faith and unbelief. Without faith, it is impossible to please God, no matter how much you do and no matter how hard you work. But as a sheep, what you do is never wasted. It is never lost. Whatever you do for the sake of those who are around you, who need your help, whatever you do in fulfillment of your God-given vocation, whatever you do that God has given you to do and placed in your path, well, that's God's good and gracious will for your life. Regardless of how unglamorous it looks or how unrewarding it feels, as a faithful sheep, Have you dropped the ball on occasion and fallen short, sinning by what you have done and left undone? Well, of course you have. We all have. And unfortunately, because we're sinners, saints, the sinner part, well, we're going to fail again. But the difference is having faith in the God-man Christ Jesus, who died on Calvary's cross to secure your forgiveness of sins, life, and eternal salvation. And as a faithful sheep, Jesus expects you to live as a sheep. His sheep take care of their neighbor. They serve those in need. And you don't do it to earn salvation. And you don't do it because you believe Jesus is hidden in the person of your neighbor. You do it out of the love for your neighbor because of the love of the one who first loved you. Jesus once told his disciples, "When you have done all that you were commanded, say, 'We are unworthy servants. We have only done what was our duty.'" Today and every day, as faithful, forgiven sheep of the Good Shepherd, you can anxiously and longingly look forward to the coming of our Lord in his glory. On this side of heaven, yes, Christ is hidden. He is sitting at the right hand of the Father, hidden from view. But the hidden Savior comes to you also, wherever he promises to be. He's hidden in your neighbor, in the least and the lowly and the most despised of this world. And he's not hidden there to save you, but he's hidden there for you to serve. And then most of all, Jesus comes hidden in his word. He comes hidden in the waters of holy baptism, in his body and blood, in his holy supper, to rescue you from sin, death, and the power of the devil, and to lead you into eternal life. In these instances, Jesus is hidden there to serve you. And on the last day, you will meet him face to face. And what will he have to say to you, faithful sheep? Well, he will say, "Come, you who are blessed by my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. Amen. The peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.